Amen. You can be seated and go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. That's if you're using the church Bible under your chair, it's page 1238. And go ahead and turn over there to 2 Timothy chapter number 2. And the statement at the top of your handout has been there 3 weeks in a row because I just kind of want to keep hammering it this month. The statement at the top of your handout says that the quality of our relationships will determine the quality of our lives. You know, we saw the hurricanes ravage Key West not long ago, the Keys. We also saw the hurricane that ravaged the west coast of Florida recently. And, you know, as I was watching that news footage, I saw beautiful beach homes that were destroyed. And it was kind of a reminder to me of how fleeting things are. And it's about relationships. And I thought, you know, it doesn't matter how beautiful your home is. You could have a beach home worth a couple $1 million, but if there's a hurricane outside your house, life's not good, right? And in the same way, you know, you can have a nice house, you can have a good job, you can have a good bank account, you can have nice cars, but if your relationships are like a hurricane around you, if it's like a hurricane in your life because of relationships, life's not good. You know, life's not going to be enjoyable, life's not going to be much fun, it's not going to be a really good time. And of course, the key to relationships, having good, healthy relationships, is you got to have good communication. And communication is so important. We think of that in marriage a lot. And every time you go to a marriage seminar, it seems like there's always a lesson on communication because it is so important. For example, one guy was teaching a marriage seminar. The speaker was speaking, and he was telling the couples there, he's like, how important communication is and how that you really need to know each other. And the only way to know each other is you got to talk, you got to communicate. He said, for example, guys, he said, you know, how well do you know your wife? He said, for example, guys, how many of you could tell me what is your wife's favorite flower? And the guy leaned over to his wife and he said, Pillsbury all-purpose, right? Needless to say, it was not good after that, all right? Not a good day after that for that guy. But, you know, you got to communicate. But let me say this. I said this back, you know, beginning of January, and I'm going to say it again. This isn't a marriage series at all. This is a series on communication. Yes, it applies to marriage because, obviously, but this applies to your relationships with friends, roommates that you may have. Maybe you got a boyfriend, a girlfriend, parents, teenagers. It applies to, work relationships, you know. And so the principles I'm going to give you apply, you know, across the board. This isn't just about marriage. There are a lot of different forms of communication. We know that, body language, facial expressions, all those things communicate, we know. But obviously, a big part of communication is words. And I want you to write that in your handout there, that words play a very big part in communication. Words are so important. The words that you speak, man, I tell you, it makes a difference. And every one of us in here are going to speak words this week. And we're going to choose our words. Nobody's going to choose those words for you. Nobody chooses. There's no cop-outs here. Whatever comes out of your mouth, man, that's on you. And so nobody chooses your words for you. And that's something that we don't always get to choose things in our life. You know, sometimes things come in our life that we can't control. This is one area you can control. What comes out of your mouth, you control that. And so that's on us. So we gotta realize that communication's about your words that you choose. And that's what this text is about. We're going through the book of 2 Timothy, and this text is about communication. Look at it with me. Look at verse 14. He says, of these things, put them in remembrance, Timothy. Remind them. Charging them before the Lord. Notice, he said, I want you to remind them that they strive not. That means to argue. That they strive not about words to no profit. He said, but to the subverting of the hearers. So he said, there's people who communicate in a way that, he said, there's no profit in their words. Well, we don't want that, obviously. Okay, so look at verse 15. He says, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing, notice, the word. There it is again, the word of truth. I'm about the Bible. Then verse 16, again, it's about communication. Shun, in other words, avoid, profane and vain babblings. We're going to talk more about that in a minute. For they will increase, they'll grow to more ungodliness. Verse 17, And their word, there it is again, their word. He said, what they're speaking, he said, it eats like a canker, a cancer. He said, their words are like cancer. And so this text is about communication. And this is part three. Now, I'm not going to review parts one and two. I don't have time. All right, you can go back online and you can catch parts one and two if you miss those. They're very important. But let's move on to number three. And here's what I want to talk about today. You ready? Write this in your handout. We want to talk about how to speak words today that will lead to fruitful conversation. All right? We do not want that negative. What was the negative? Verse 14, striving about words to no profit. Remember, we kidded about that. Oh, we're striving. You know, and Denise and I have actually kidded about that a couple times. Oh, let's not strive. You know, arguing about things that don't matter. Arguing about things where there's no profit. Verse 15, he says, study the Bible. Last week we talked about filling your mind with the Bible. You know, studying the Bible is important because what happens is as you study the Bible, you find that the words that you speak are being filtered through your understanding of the Bible. But if you have no understanding of the Bible, there's no filter, right? And then you come to verse 16, which is today, and he talks about here, encouraging them to engage in conversation that is fruitful rather than fruitless. Verse 16, look at that with me again. He says, shun profane. That word profane means wicked. Wicked. There are people who use their mouth to say wicked things. And that's the idea of the word profane, is when you talk things that are just wicked. And then he says, avoid profane and vain babblings. What's a vain babbling? Vain babblings is when we talk and it's just empty, fruitless discussion. It's just empty nothingness. How many of you have ever had a conversation with somebody and when it's over, you go, what was that? What was that? What in the world? That was a waste of time. You know, I've called people up on the phone, you know, like, I hate to name a business, but it's frustrated me. So AT&T, you know, I've called them before. And again, if you work for them, I'm sorry, but it's a customer relation nightmare every time I call. And it's like at the end of the conversation, I'm like, I just wasted 30 minutes, you know. And that's the idea of vain babblings is when we engage in conversation that's just a waste of time. So the text here, let's keep in mind the text, okay? He's saying, look, as you study the Bible, it's going to teach you how to speak words that lead to fruitful conversation as opposed to fruitless communication. So what I want to do is I want to give you three incredible communication skills today that will help you and lead you to fruitful conversation. Now, the first one I'm going to deal with today, I'm going to give you three, all right? And the first one we dealt with at the tail end of my message last week, if you were here. I only got to spend a minute or two because we ran out of time. So I want to go back and spend a little bit more time on this. So I want you to write it in. You ready? Here it is. Communication skill number one. Boy, it's a biggie. You choose your words. Here we go. You ready? Speak only to build up others. All right? That's the first one. When you choose your words, choose them in a way that's going to build up other people. You remember when we discussed verse 14 a couple weeks ago, we said there's a kind of communication that you can do that leads to the subverting of the hearers, people having to listen to you. Subverting meant catastrophe. Remember that? We said it's where we get the English word catastrophe. Subverting means catastrophe. And so there's a verse that we're going to look at, a key verse, that forbids us from using our tongues in a corrupt way that will lead to a catastrophe in our relationships. Good verse to memorize. We talk about hiding the Bible in your heart. This is one you ought to memorize. Look at it with me. It's in your handout, and it's Ephesians 4:29. Great verse. You ought to memorize this verse this week. Make it a goal. It says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your what? Mouth. But that which is good. So you want good communication to come out. Notice, to the use of edifying. Remember edifice? It means to build up. So you want words to come out that aren't corrupt, but they lead to the building up of other people. Look at the end of the verse. That it, your conversation, the words in your mouth, may minister grace unto the hearers. So let's talk about this a minute. A good way to avoid corrupt types of communication, first of all, is to simply talk less. Can I get an amen out there, huh? Just talk less. The Bible says, Proverbs 10:19, it says, he that refrains his lips is wise. Certainly, you need to talk, you need to communicate. There's definitely a time to talk. Then there's times when we just kind of need to be quiet, you know? We need to listen. But look at this verse on the screen, Proverbs 11:9. It says, a hypocrite with his mouth destroys his neighbor. Notice how you can destroy people with your mouth. A hypocrite destroys his neighbor with his mouth. And then it says, but through knowledge shall the just be delivered. Look at the next verse. Let's bring it up. Same chapter, Proverbs 11:12. He that is void of wisdom despises his neighbor, but a man of understanding, what? Y'all ever heard of zipping your lip? Zip your lip, right? And it says, a man of understanding, you know, I'm going to give you a piece of my mind. Well, the Bible says a wise man holds his peace. See? So we want to talk less. And I want to say this. We really need to focus on talking less about people. Do you think it's possible that church members talk about other church members? Does that ever happen? Do church members ever talk about their pastor? No. Do coworkers ever talk about each other at work? Yes. Yeah. Do spouses ever talk about their spouse behind their back? Yes. Yeah. You know, we really need to spend less time talking about people. One time, I heard this and I never forgot it. It was years ago I heard this, and it's just kind of one of those things that you never forget. But here's what I heard, and I thought it made a lot of sense, especially when you think about it practically. But the saying went like this: simple-minded people are always talking about people. It said average-minded people talk about things, and it said highly intelligent people talk about ideas. A lot of truth in that. Simple-minded people talk about people. Average-minded people talk about things. Intelligent people talk about ideas. I heard this also, and I thought it was good. It said, wise men think without talking. Fools talk without thinking, right? So we need to make sure our minds kick into gear before our mouths kick into gear. And let me say this to you also that'll help you with this corrupt communication, making sure that we, you know, build up people, is that we need to get in the habit of talking to people with whom you're having a problem rather than talking about them. Get in the habit of talking to people that you're having a problem with rather than talking about them. I mean, obviously, the hardest time to speak words that build up is when you're having problems with another person. You know, there's some conflict there. We want to use words. Our flesh wants to use our mouth, our words, to cut them down to size. You know, we want to slice and dice with our tongue. And most often what happens is other people treat you the way you treat them. Most of the time. Not all the time, but most of the time. So if you're aggressive in your communication, they probably will be too. If you're overbearing, they probably will reciprocate. If you are using words that tear down, don't be surprised if an argument develops and they do the same thing. The Bible says a soft answer turns away wrath. So, you know, even if the other person is clearly wrong, and that happens when someone does something wrong to you. That means they're just clearly in the wrong. Or they do something that's just wrong. Even when someone else is clearly in the wrong, how do you handle that? Because, I mean, you know, just because they're wrong, that doesn't mean you want to tear them down. Just because they're wrong doesn't mean that you want to, you know, kick them while they're down and rub their face in it. You know, so when the Bible says to speak words that edify and build up, does that not apply when somebody else is wrong? How do you handle that? How do you deal with that? Because there's a time to confront. There's a time you have to deal with stuff. So when I'm talking about speaking words that build up people, I'm not talking about being non-confrontive, never confronting a situation, sweeping stuff under the rug, acting like it doesn't exist, excusing people's faults and failures. I'm not talking about that. Although I will say there are a lot of things that we could overlook in love. The Bible says love covers a multitude of sins. There are a lot of things that we make big deals about that we really don't need to make big deals about. We could just keep our mouth shut, and it's, at the end of the day, it really doesn't matter, you know? Aren't you glad that God doesn't make a big deal out of everything we do wrong? Aren't you glad God doesn't zap you with lightning every time you do something wrong? You know what I mean? I mean, honestly. So I think that we could overlook a lot. But what about when someone's clearly wrong and they have offended and it's just wrong what they've done? Even in that situation, how do you deal with it? Well, fortunately, the Bible tells us. Look at the screen. Galatians 6:1. Some of you are dealing maybe with this right now where you've got a loved one or someone at work or a friend, and they're clearly wrong. Well, here's what it says. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, in other words, there's no doubt they're wrong. There is no doubt they've messed up. There is no doubt they are in the wrong. They have been overtaken, caught in a fault. You which are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of what? Meekness. And then why? He said, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. The idea there is that you try to put yourself in their shoes. Would you want your face rubbed in it? You know, would you want to be kicked while you were down? So even when they're wrong, you may have to deal with it, but you deal with it with a spirit of meekness. At the end of the day, you're wanting to help. You're wanting to build up. You're wanting to help them get past this. You're not wanting to just simply rub their face in it. This is a real problem in marriage, is that couples want to rub the face of their spouse in past mistakes. And that'll kill a marriage. I'm telling you, flat out, that'll kill your marriage. You can't do that. That Bible just teaches you don't do that. You don't use your mouth to cut and dice up the other person. You're not just slicing and dicing, you know. In fact, you know that word restore right there? When he says they've been overtaken in a fault, restore them. If you look up the word restore, it says to mend a broken bone. The idea is that you're wanting to set that bone in place. You're wanting to set whatever's wrong right, and you're wanting that person to be restored. You want them to be mended. You do it in a spirit of meekness, considering what if that was me with a broken bone? Well, what if that was me that was overtaken in the fall? How would I want to be treated in this situation? And so that's the idea of that word, is to mend a broken bone, you know? And as we think about our words, you need to make a commitment. And you know, a lot of times we go to church and we hear the message and it goes in one ear and out the other, and that's not good. We really need to listen. We need to make a decision. We need to say, you know what? The Bible's right. God's right. I need to start speaking words that build up people, you know. Use compliments and you know, not insincere flattery, but build up people. Use the power of your tongue to help people, to build up people, you know, not to cut people down. And you need to pray about that and ask God to help you with that. Every day, wake up in the morning and get on your knees and say, Lord, help me to speak words that are going to build up my kids. Help me to speak words, you know, because I have a powerful thing in my mouth called a tongue. And it's got the power of life and death, we learned last week. So God, help me today to speak forth words that are going to build up my spouse, my coworkers, my kids. You know, maybe it's you're in college, you know, and I don't know, but just the people in your life, just Lord, help me to speak words that are going to build up. Help me to edify. Help me to use that gift of speech in a very positive way today. The second thing is this. Number two, the second communication skill is this. Here it is. You ready? Communication skill number two is be quick to listen. Be quick to listen. And then I want to go right to the next statement in your handout. And it says there, fruitful conversations involve people who are good listeners. How many of you are listening right now. Some of you, I've been preaching 15 or 20 minutes and you've already zoned on me. Your mind's going to football. Your mind's going to lunch. Listen, if you live to 75 and eat 3 meals a day, that's 82,000 meals. So don't sweat lunch today, all right? Just listen. It's just one of 82,000 meals. So listen. Some of you, I'm 20 minutes into the message and you're already having social media convulsions. I haven't been on social media 15 minutes. What am I going to do? And some of you are on Facebook right now. Or you're twittering tweets or tweeting tweets. I don't know, whatever it is. But why is it we can't even listen sometimes to a 30-minute message from the Bible? You know, we struggle with listening. Listening is not a communication skill that comes naturally to most of us, you know. It's on the screen over here, but it's on your handout. Look at it with me. If you turn your handout over, James 1:19, it says, "Beloved brethren, let every man be swift." That means quick. Be quick to what? Hear. Slow to what? Speak. Slow to wrath. Get mad. Have a long fuse. Boy, we love to talk, don't we? You know, listening comes hard. And sometimes, you know, we just dominate the other person by talk. One lady said she hadn't spoken to her husband in years because she said he hates to be interrupted. He'd just been talking for years, never stopped. Holding our tongue can be so difficult, right? It can be so hard. One lady named Arabella Young, church member, loved to talk. She just talked all the time. Talked about people, talked about the pastor, talked about everybody up at the church, talked about everybody at work. She just loved to talk. Well, finally one day she died and they put a poem on her tombstone. And the poem said, "Beneath this stone, a lump of clay, lies Arabella Young, who on the 24th of May began to hold her tongue." Don't wait until you're dead, all right? Learn how to be a good listener. Why? Number one, look in your handout. All right, number one, when you become a good listener, it demonstrates genuine humility. So write that in. It demonstrates humility. Pride wants to talk. Humility says, no, I'm going to listen to you, all right? Number two, it shows that you realize you do not have all the answers. So when you listen, you're demonstrating, hey, I don't have all the answers. I want to hear what you have to say. Number three, when you learn to be a good listener, it tells the other person that you value his or her thoughts and opinions. You value what they think because you're listening. Listening is always important, but especially if there's any type of conflict. Because if we don't learn, this is important. Hear me. Some of you are in conflict right now. You may be a spouse, maybe a friend, maybe a church member. I don't know. Maybe a neighbor. Listen to me. If we don't learn to listen, we never get to the root of problems. I want you to look up at the screen at a verse here. Let's bring it up. It says, "See you a man that is hasty in his words? There's more hope of a fool than of him." You got to learn to listen. Look in your handout. I love this verse. Proverbs 18:13. "He that answers a matter before he hears it, it is a folly and shame unto him." How many of you guys have ever heard there's two sides to every story? Is that true? Absolutely. When you answer a matter before you hear it, in other words, you don't take time to truly research and listen, he says, that ends up biting you. It ends up being a folly and a shame to you. I've had people through the years, of course, I've been pastoring now a long time, and so every pastor goes through the exact same thing. You know, people will get upset and they leave the church. And it happens. Every church has problems. Every church has issues. By the way, are there any perfect churches? I thought y'all were going to say yes, Crossroads. Crossroads is not perfect either. We got our warts, right? We got our problems. And so there's no perfect churches. And by the way, if you are in a church long enough, are you probably going to have somebody offend you at some point? Yeah. If you're in a church long enough, are you going to disagree with something? Yeah. So I've had people through the years leave the church and never ever meet with anybody to try to figure it out, resolve it. They'll hear something and leave the church. And it's like they never take time to research to see if it was true. And that the Bible says that's very unwise. The Bible says when you answer a matter before you really hear it, that's a folly and a shame. You got to listen. By the way, let me throw this out as far as marriage goes. Sometimes one of the greatest benefits to seeing a counselor isn't necessarily that the counselor is going to say something that you don't know. The counselor may not share anything with you guys that you haven't heard. The counselor may not come up with anything novel and new. The counselor may not just shed this light on it. They say, whoa, I never thought of that. One of the greatest benefits to seeing a counselor is that there's someone in the room to hold you both accountable to make you listen to the other person. And so much gets resolved when we just listen. And through the years, I have counseled couples before, and the woman will say something, and the man will just look at her in amazement because he has to be quiet because I'm in the room, you know, and I've told him to be quiet, so he's got to listen. So he'll just sit there and be listening to her talk, and then all of a sudden, he'll just shake his head and go, I never knew you felt that way. And she'll go, oh, I've told you 100 times. You haven't been listening. True. And so now he listens, right? So many problems can get resolved when we just decide to listen. Amen? All right, let's give you the last communication skill before we go home. Look at this. Number three, communicate in a way that is healthy and healing. Go back to verse 16 in our text. Let's all go back there. Look at verse 16. It says, to shun profane and vain babblings. Profane means, we said, ungodly. You should never talk ungodly to people. I don't care who it is. I don't care if it's someone that cut you off in your car. I don't care if it's a coworker that made you mad. I don't care if it's your spouse. You don't ever, ever, ever. Listen, don't go around speaking ungodly to people. Don't ever allow curse words to proceed out of your mouth towards another person. That's not right. And for sure, if you're going to do it, please make sure you don't have a Crossroads bumper sticker or a Crossroads. Don't tell them where you go to church, all right? Please. That's not right. All right? You don't go around cussing people out. You don't go around just because you're mad, yelling at your wife and treating her like trash. You don't treat your husband like he's a moron. You don't do things like that. You don't talk that way. You communicate in a way that is healthy and healing. And the idea of verse 16 is a loose cannon. And look at that verse. It says, shun profane and vain babblings. Why? For they will increase, they'll grow unto more ungodliness. You know what the picture is? Is that the hole keeps getting deeper and deeper relationally. Problems aren't solved. Problems just keep getting... When does cussing someone out ever resolve a problem? When does speaking hatefully to someone ever resolve a problem? All it does is drive wedges further. All it does is embarrass yourself. All it does is make the hole deeper and deeper and make the problem get bigger and bigger. That's all it does. He says it increases unto more ungodliness. Things just get worse. It's like the couple that's going down the road and they were having at it, man. They were yelling and screaming at each other, fighting in the car. And boy, the guy was just so mad. They passed a barnyard and over there was some mules and some goats and some pigs. And he looked over there and he said, relatives of yours? The woman looked at him and said, yep, in-laws. It just keeps getting deeper and deeper, right? Problems just get bigger and bigger. When we Vain babblings is what that is, right? Just vain babblings. It happens all the time. By the way, when it says that they increase unto more ungodliness, that means it just keeps getting worse and worse until somebody decides we're going to start talking in a healthy way. We're going to start communicating in a healing way. We're going to quit hurting each other with our words because this is getting us nowhere. We're just digging the hole here deeper and deeper. And that's why marriages fall apart, friendships are broken. That's why people in the same church many times won't talk to each other. That's why siblings won't be in the same room with each other. They're so angry with one another. That's why parents and children won't talk to each other. It's because vain babblings, ungodly talk, just increases unto more ungodliness. There's a verse in your handout that I want you to look at that is unbelievable. It says in Proverbs 12, 18, there is that speaks like the piercings of a sword. In other words, there's a person that when they talk, their tongue is like a sword. They pierce people with their tongue, with their words. But then he says, but the tongue of the wise is what, church? Health. Isn't that great? You know what that tells me? We need healthy tongues. Wouldn't it be great if Crossroads had a bunch of people with healthy tongues? Wouldn't it be great if we were known in this community as the Church of the Healthy Tongues? Man, those people are like Jesus. The people wondered at the gracious words that proceeded out of Jesus' mouth. Wouldn't that be something if we were known as that? Let me give you real quickly, I want to end the message, and I'm going to literally list these like this, so have your pen ready, all right? I want to give you about seven ways on how to communicate in a healthy way. Number one, choose the right time and place, all right? That's so important, all right? Sometimes we have a good point to make, but the other person's tired, the other person's exhausted, the other person's in a bad mood, the other person is distracted, and it's just a terrible time to talk about it. All right. Number two, believe the best about others. Believe the best about others. Don't believe the worst. Believe the best. Until they give you no choice but to believe differently, believe the best about others. Number three, talk to people face to face. Look at me right now. Hey, look at me. Did you guys know that texting and email is a wonderful tool, but did you know they are not good for conflict resolution? Email and texting are not good conflict resolution tools. So talk to people face to face when you're having a problem. Number four, be objective. Don't resort to things like, you always, you never, every time. Usually those are exaggerations. All right. Number five, don't use the Bible to tear people down. Some people use their Bible like a billy club. You know, they use the Bible to try to beat people over the head. Number six, ask for feedback. In other words, explain yourself and then ask them, now, do you understand what I'm saying? You know, what do you think I just said? Number seven, offer solutions, not just problems. What if, look up here a second, what if we took every word you spoke over the last 6 months, and what if every word you spoke over the last 6 months was put into a book in print and was available for anybody to read at the public library? What was that? I missed that. Someone on the front row said bestseller. Bestseller, huh? Well, I don't know about that. But hey, is that a bit of a frightening thought? If it is, say amen, huh? All right. None of us want that, do we? But I did that to make a point. And that is to emphasize the fearful responsibility that goes with the gift of speech. By the way, who does know every word you spoke over the last 6 months? God does. Right. The Bible says we'll give an account of that. So we need to be careful. All I'm saying today is, hey, I've given you some great communication skills. Now, who chooses what comes out of your mouth? Come on, who chooses? You do. Nobody controls what comes out of your mouth but you. You choose your words. So this is a great lesson because this is something you actually have total control over. Total control. right? And so these are three communication skills that I hope that if I were to ask you next week what they were, you could tell me what they were. Because you're going to take it home, study it, pray over it each morning, and ask God to help you. And it will revolutionize your relationships. The last sentence in your handout, it says, let's communicate in a way that is fruitful, that brings health and healing. Health and healing. Ushers, if you'll prepare to come, let's all bow our heads right now and pray as our ushers come.